Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Homer's famous epic poem, The Odyssey, was composed near the end of the 8th century B.C. It tells the story of the Greek hero Odysseus and his 10-year journey home after the fall of Troy. But this Odyssey, performed by flutist Mimi Stillman, is not quite so old. Gerald Levinson wrote it in 1973. And many of the pieces on her new album, also called Odyssey, are even newer. In a moment, we'll hear more about her very modern musical Odyssey, but first, a live performance. This is Mimi Stillman with Charles Abramovich at our piano, live in the Soundcheck studio, and a movement of Elements by Mason Bates. That is music from Mason Bates. It's part of his four-movement suite called Elements, obviously one for each of the four classical elements, earth, air, water, fire. A live performance by flutist Mimi Stillman and Charles Abramovich, who's at our piano, and both making their way to the microphones. Mimi, I would have guessed water. For at least at the beginning, but that is in fact air that we heard from Mason Bates.
Yes, it is. It's the third movement of Mason's kind of through-connected piece on the four elements, I guess also Aristotelian qualities. So I'm so glad you mentioned Homer and the Odyssey for us today. But yeah, actually what Mason did throughout this piece is kind of weave some of the elements together. So there's watery elements you heard, and then the soaring flute line is an air
and
idea.
Charlie, there was towards the end of that excerpt a kind of a rattling percussive thing you were doing at the upper end of the piano. What was that?
Right, those were just high trills in conjunction with the high flute trills.
You almost don't hear a note
Yeah, when it's that when high that in the high piano, out. Sometimes you get almost a percussive effect.
Yeah. Sure. So now the album is called Odyssey, and like Homer's Odyssey, this, Mimi, is kind of an epic. I mean, it's two full CDs of new music for flute, most of it with piano. Was it, did it seem like a journey of sorts to you?
Absolutely, John. In fact, I think to some extent making any music is like a journey from the very first time you learn it to internalizing it and bringing it out to people. But for this album, which is a two CD set of 11 American premieres, it was just really exciting to document and record pieces in many cases that were written for me or for me and Charlie and that we premiered and bring them out.
Now, among those pieces, obviously this work by Mason Bates, who is a guy who's beginning to be known mostly for his electronic music. He actually records and performs as DJ Masonic, in addition to being, you know, a very fine classical composer.
Yes, the piece was born a number of years ago when both of us were on the Young Concert Artists roster. And so Mason was commissioned to write this work for me, and I premiered it in New York and Washington.
Now, you were a super young concert artist. I mean, weren't you the youngest, what was it, the youngest woodwind player to win that competition?
Yes, I was. I was 17 when I won that and got a pretty early start. I was the youngest wind player accepted to Curtis when I was 12 as well.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, how does that work? Can you have a normal life as a teenager when you're so precocious professionally?
Well, Curtis has a long history of having a lot of very young students, pianists and violinists and, you know, other strings mostly. And I always felt quite normal. I was having the time of my life there with colleagues and friends many years older. And then I think it's really the music that brings us all together in that nurturing environment.
We're speaking with flutist Mimi Stillman, pianist Charlie Abramovic. The two CD set Odyssey features 11 American premieres for flute and piano, mostly for flute and piano, one or two just for flute. And in the notes, you write that the flute is, quote, the closest instrument to the human voice, unquote. I know lots of cellists and violists who would take issue with that.
Well, I'm sitting here right now, so I will tell you what I think. But no, actually, so many of the ways in which wind players need to breathe and phrase and hold our bodies, the physicality of it, is very similar to singing. And I think we can all try to emulate singers in terms of phrasing. But I learn a lot from, well, pretty much just groping my friends who are singers who I play with.
I'm sorry, what? Groping your friends?
well, there's a lot of physicality involved. So we might say take a moment to breathe from the diaphragm and feel your intercostal muscles on your ribs expanding and that kind of thing.
Okay. It is a family show, you know, so just...
if you want to do over.
Now, let me ask you about this next piece, because we've mentioned all these American composers, you know, these American premieres, but this next piece is from Brazil, and it's part of that choro tradition that they have, right?
Yes, I love the genre of choro.
Explain what that is.
Yeah, it's a genre that emerged mostly in the cities of Brazil in the late 19th century and was performed by bands in which the flute was really prominent. And you had great flutist composers like Pixinguinha composing and performing. Saxophone was also in there, different percussions, different guitars.
And there was no singer. So to go back to what you were just saying about the flute being close to the voice, the flutist in these choro bands would often be the kind of the lead singer.
Exactly. And a lot of the music is very singable. A lot of it is quite virtuosic. Charlie and I enjoy this part of the repertoire together because he improvises a lot of the piano parts.
Oh, okay. So now this piece called Aeroporto do Galeano is, sort of that Galeano Airport, would that be the translation?
Aeroporto do Galeão, airport in Rio, yes.
In Rio, okay. The composer is Altamiro Carrillo, and so, Charlie, do you know what you're about to do, or are you going to be sort of playing it by ear?
I sort of know. I'm having fun slightly improvising as
all right.
We go.
All right, let's hear another live performance in the Soundcheck studio. Mimi Stillman playing the flute, Charles Abramovic at our piano, and this, a bit of Brazilian music from the composer Altamiro Carrillo. ¶¶ That is music from Brazil, from the Brazilian choro tradition. Altamiro Carrillo is the composer. Aeroporto do Galeão is the song, an airport in Rio, sort of depicted in that music. Mimi Stillman playing the flute, Charles Abramovic at the piano. They collaborated on Mimi's latest record, Odyssey, which is American music for flute and piano. Do you get a chance to play much of the Brazilian stuff? You've also played with Paquito de Rivera, right?
I have. I love playing Latin music and exploring other world musics like Jewish folk music, Ashkenazic and Sephardic. And I actually grew up speaking Spanish as my first language.
Really?
Even though my family was living in Boston, because my parents are foreign language professors and textbook authors. So I feel an affinity for the music of sort of Spanish and, I guess, Portuguese-speaking America.
Mm-hmm. Did you grow up speaking like Castilian Spanish, Latin American Spanish, Ladino, the Spanish of the Sephardic Jews? What was it?
Probably general Latin American Spanish.
Yeah, okay. And you grew up in Boston, but now you're based in Philly. So Red Sox or Phillies?
Well, I'm okay in that I adopted the Phillies as my National League team, but really Red Sox.
Yeah. I guess some infections are just hard to root out, aren't they, Mimi? Said the Yankee fan to the Red Sox fan. Now, the two of you are co-founders of Il Dolce Suono Ensemble in Philadelphia. How hard is it to kind of, you know, get an audience for this kind of music in Philly or anywhere else for that matter?
Well, I founded Dolce Suono Ensemble in 2005, primarily to make music with my friends. Many of us are Curtis graduates from different times or the same time, and to make music for the local audience I grew up performing for since I was 12. Mm-hmm. And it's really expanded in places I never dreamed. We've done 23 premieres in our first 7 seasons, but we also play all repertoire from Baroque through today. And it's really exciting to have collaborations with guest artists like Eric Owens, bass baritone, and Lucy Shelton, soprano.
These are, Eric Owens is the guy who's, he's been all over the place lately, did that Grendel opera where he basically sang on stage for like 3.5 hours uninterrupted, so... You've got some pretty big name collaborators there.
Thank you. So
Charlie, how big is, what is Dolce Suono a fixed lineup of musicians, or is it kind of
a rotating crew of musicians. There are sort of core members, I assume. I'm one, right? And we have a cellist, Yumi Kendo. We have a trio that plays a lot together, and then quite a few string players, wind players, and Mimi is wonderful at creating mixed programs with all sorts of combinations and great projects, and certainly great commissioning projects.
Yeah. So the album Odyssey, Mimi, is that some of these pieces that grew out of the Dolce Suono work?
The Benjamin Boyle Sonata Cantilena was. It was one of our commissions as part of the Samuel Barber Centennial project we did, and many of the works kind of developed over time, mm-hmm. not necessarily through Dolce Suono, but the recording was a project of the ensemble, and I was really thrilled to do it with Charlie, amazing musician who we've been playing together for about 11 years now.
Mm-hmm. So since you were 12, apparently.
Well, not quite. Yeah.
So now, you mentioned before you like playing all these different types of music from around the world. In Catherine Hoover, you found a composer who is also a flutist and who seems to share your love of music from all over the world, because each movement of this piece draws on a different kind of tradition. So did you sit down with her and say, open the atlas and give me what you got?
Well, I think Catherine, going into it, wanted to do something that blends together different cultures. The second movement of the work is based on an American Indian tune, and that's the American Southwest is a big inspiration to her, but the first and third movements are a little farther afield. Hungarian Lasso is kind of a gypsy sounding style, and then the third movement, Dietze Dance, evokes a Chinese flute.
Now, the Chinese Dietze, this is the flute that has like a little membrane in it, and it makes a kind of a buzzing sound if you listen to the original Chinese flute. Do you attempt to kind of imitate that sound in this piece?
I think the way Catherine was thinking of it is it's very pentatonic and also a little rustic, or kind of the music of the outdoors. Mm. So the very opening before the piano comes in is a little bit of kind of the idea of rough street music.
All right. Rough street music, classical style. Let's hear another live performance. This is on the album Odyssey, a 2-CD set of music for flute and piano. 11 American premieres in that set. Mimi Stillman at playing the flute, Charles Abramovic at our piano. And this is the Dizzy Dance from Mountain and Mesa. That's the name of the overarching piece by composer Catherine Hoover. Once again, Mimi Stillman playing the flute, Charles Abramovic playing our piano, and a live performance of music from Catherine Hoover from a piece called Mountain and Mesa. That is the third part, the Dizhe Dance. And again, the Dizhe is this Chinese flute. Has a kind of curious buzzing sound to it. And this flute, the Western flute, Mimi, doesn't do that sound, at least not normally. So it seems like maybe you're kind of approximating it with some of those quick kind of trill effects.
Yeah, there's some flutter tonguing in here and some double tonguing, and just to get a kind of wider range of tone colors.
Mm-hmm. The piece also includes, as you mentioned before, a movement based on Native American music, another movement based on Hungarian gypsy music, all from the pen of Catherine Hoover, one of 11 American premieres on this 2-CD set called Odyssey. And it has been, a tale that has grown over the years. Obviously commissioning new works, something you do both as a flutist and with Dolce Suono. Continuing to do that these days?
Yes, for me as a soloist and chamber musician, as a flutist, my repertoire is just not as large or varied or great as piano and string repertoire, so I think it's really gratifying and also important to build the repertoire, not just that I play, but for flutists and wind players in general.
Now, you mentioned Benjamin Boyle before. One of the pieces sort of grew out of Dolce Suono. We're hearing some of that in the background, and we'll use that to wrap up. Mimi, Charlie, thank you both so much for being with us and performing for us on Soundcheck today.
Thank you so much for having us, John.
This is Soundcheck. We've heard Mimi Stillman performing some classical flute music for us. You can hear Mimi reacting to the sounds of Jethro Tull and other examples of the flute in the worlds of rock and pop music. Visit us online at soundcheckworkshop.org or subscribe to the Soundcheck podcast on iTunes. Our technical director is Irene Drudel. Our show is produced by Katie Bishop and Greta Cohn. Our intern is Alex Abnos. And our senior producer is Joel Meyer. I'm John Schaefer for the Soundcheck Podcast.